Welcome to Diverse, a Society of Women Engineers podcast. SWE gives women engineers a unique place and voice within the engineering community. On Diverse, we highlight incredible women in STEM and discover who they are at home, at work, and everywhere in between. You can find all of our episodes online at podcast.swe.org or wherever you stream your favorite podcasts.
Hi, I'm your host, Larry Guthrie, Director of Content Strategy at the Society of Women Engineers, and welcome to Diverse, a SWE podcast. I'm here with Brandon Thompson, NASCAR's Vice President of Diversity and Inclusion, and Andrea Muller, an engineer with Penske Racing. Today, we're tackling our podcast's namesake, just head on, and discussing how to foster diversity in motorsports engineering and how to develop a pipeline for the next generation of professionals. They'll be sharing NASCAR's work around this important topic and how their new fellowship program is aiming to make a real impact. Thanks to NASCAR for sponsoring this episode. Brandon and Andrea, welcome to Diverse.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks. Wonderful. So let's dive in. NASCAR, of course, one of the most popular sports in the United States. And while many may be aware of the engineering that goes into building the race cars themselves, I understand there are many more other types of engineers that play critical roles in motorsports. And Brandon, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, NASCAR is obviously wrought with just STEM everywhere. Speed is largely made up of science and the people who make these things go. And NASCAR, like many other forms of motorsports, is no different. And so this fellowship program and just the industry in general sort of lends itself to mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, aerospace engineers, manufacturing, engineering, sort of the list goes on, as well as a lot of other STEM majors, mathematics and the like. And so really just excited to let people know about all the career opportunities, whether with NASCAR proper or throughout the industry with teams or manufacturers that exist throughout the sport.
That's really exciting to hear, because I think, you know, especially our listeners, if they're going into engineering, to realize that there's a place for them at a place like NASCAR, if that's their interest or their passion, that it seems like you cover all the disciplines or pretty much all of them at NASCAR.
No doubt.
So, Andrea, can you walk us through how you found out about these engineering opportunities in the sport? And, you know, what did your career path look like so far with NASCAR?
So my initial introduction on the whole race engineer role is kind of funny. I was watching Saturday morning cartoons and they had a short special that pretty much walked through, you know, a quick summary of a day in the life of an engineer. The gentleman was a race engineer on an IndyCar team. And at that point in life, I kind of wanted to be a race car driver, but obviously being a young female, you question, as people are telling you, you know, that's kind of a strange career path for you to be picking. And so you start to question, okay. And then I saw this commercial during Saturday morning cartoons and was like, oh my gosh, that looks awesome. You know, I can work on race cars. I can be an engineer. And from there, that's kind of like where my focus was set.
That's amazing. That's outreach at its best, right? Get to really meet you where you are at the good old Saturday morning cartoons. And once you were actually part of NASCAR, what has your journey there been, or what's your experience been so far with NASCAR?
Yeah, so I grew up around racing. And again, you know, kind of once I saw that cartoon commercial, kind of had my sights on being a race engineer. And it's a bit of a tough career because there isn't like a really clear introduction path to get you to where you want to go. And luckily, I beat on enough doors and pretty much just stayed consistent with the contacts I had made at a couple teams and just, you know, kept reaching out to them. And I got a shot with Penske, which initially started out as kind of a race engineer assistant / track IT position. That was great because it really let me see what all the other race engineers were doing. And then, you know, slowly they would give me small projects. And then it eventually grew to where I ended as a cup race engineer, which was my ultimate goal and was super exciting. And then now I've transitioned to a process engineer here within the shop. So it's definitely been, you know, 100% engineering within the racing environment.
So for those that would like to follow in your footsteps, what do you feel are the most important skills or qualifications that you really need to excel in this career path?
I mean, the biggest thing is just trying to get involved hands-on with whatever local like racing you have around you. Really just kind of start to see, you know, how the cars really work, how the whole, you know, race environment works from, you know, the time the cars get unloaded till you load them back up to go home. And, you know, just really kind of understand how everything works. And then from there, you can start applying the engineering fundamentals that you will learn at school. And then once you get into a team, like the biggest thing I will say is I did work in aerospace industry for a couple of years before I came here. And the biggest difference within the racing is just the pace of which things happen. You know, a normal project cycle in aerospace engineering could be months. And in the racing environment, it's days or at times hours. Wow. Just because you're reacting so quickly to changes every day. So that, I mean, that's the thing, is just be prepared for a very, very fast paced work environment.
So the work environment reflects the actual sport itself.
100%.
So Andrew, you had mentioned that there's, you know, breaking in to this particular area. You know, what has it been like to work as a women engineer in this kind of male-dominated industry? Did you have mentors or allies along the way? How did they play a part?
It's kind of interesting. I mean, my whole, I mean, path to kind of get here has been in male-dominated. So like areas, you know, obviously engineering classes in early 2000s were very male-dominated. I did some racing myself growing up, and I mean, it was rare to be, you know, to have more than one or two females racing. So honestly, I never really knew that that wasn't normal. Like, to me, this has just been my normal. But I will say that all of the crew chiefs that I've worked under and all of the race engineers that, you know, were coworkers as I was kind of like coming through the ranks, they were just so awesome. And just, I mean, didn't treat me any different. Obviously there's Alba over at Hendrix, who, I mean, I kind of watched her kind of go through the same thing. I mean, she's just crushed her entire career and done an amazing job. And, you know, I've kind of always looked up to her. And I've had, you know, some opportunities to also interact with her and kind of, you know, see what her story has been.
That's fantastic. I love, what I love most about the podcast is that it really shines a light on women engineers of in different areas and different disciplines. And it's kind of that concept of, you know, if you can see me, you can be me. And that sounds very much what you were saying as far as who you looked up to.
So the one thing that I would really like to touch on there is, so I don't travel anymore on a weekly basis. And the thing that I miss the most was just being at the track and showing all the young girls that are there that this is an opportunity for them. Because I cannot tell you how many times, like, I saw the light bulb go off, you know, in their head of like, wait a second, like, I could do this. And, you know, I don't think it's anyone's fault, but it's just not a traditional path, you know, for them to go down. And so I'm excited that there are a lot more females out in the garage of all the racing series now, so that, you know, people are getting exposure to just what opportunities are there for them.
That's wonderful. And now, Brandon, of course, NASCAR is looking to impact diversity in the sport even more. And with this new initiative that we're about to jump into. So how did you baseline and quantify the problem that you were looking to tackle?
Yeah, well, we work with a group out of that's based out of the University of Central Florida that goes by the name of the Institute for Diversity and Ethics in Sport. That group has been led by Dr. Richard Lapchick, who's really one of the foremost voices when it comes to the intersection of sports and equity and representation, et cetera. And so they've been a good partner for a really long time. NASCAR has been on this journey. A lot of people may be surprised, but really going back to the early 2000s. And so this group was one of the groups that we originally kind of started working with as we adopted this as a strategic initiative for us a couple decades back, but it really was, Larry, you're right, all about getting the data and making sure that we could baseline exactly where we were. To Andrea's point, I mean, you may come to a race or just assume, right, that this is the case in terms of there being a lack of representation amongst women, people of color, et cetera. But until you can really have that data to know for sure, to be able to work with the industry to make some adjustments, you really don't know until you dig in. And so being able to work with Tides was really impactful and really gave us some place to start. And the fellowship program was one of the ways that we thought that we may be able to impact this over the next several years.
That's great. And so armed with all this data and getting a feel, defining where you wanted to focus your efforts, how did this new fellowship come about?
Well, we had to take a good hard look at, you know, really what the path was. I think at the time there was a lot of discussion around, you know, other more stick and ball sports relative to what does it look like in terms of representation at the head coaching ranks. And for us, what we really realized on the NASCAR side is that really there's no, you know, you hear a lot, and I'll talk about football for a second. Are you supposed to be an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator? If you're in basketball, you know, is it a particular coach that you were supposed to have worked under, or, you know, it's kind of wait your time as an assistant head coach or whatever the case may be? Really, outside of exposing people to the career opportunities that lie within the NASCAR industry, education is really the great divider, or really or the opposite, I would say, is the main entree really into the world of motorsports, particularly on the competition side. And so I thought this was a great way to be able to partner with an organization like the Society of Women Engineers to be able to address that and look to close that gap a bit, just because obviously you all have the population of folks amongst your ranks and amongst your membership, whether, you know, through professional chapters or even through collegiate campuses, who have people who are looking to get into these fields and influence them. So it seemed like a great fit. And so we're excited about launching the program.
Yeah, we'd love to hear that. Who was involved in the development process, and, you know, how long did it take to create? What was that process? What did that look like?
Well, Larry, as of the taping of this podcast today, we're still in the finishing phases of developing the program. But it was really a collaborative effort between NASCAR as a sanctioning body, our race teams, and our OEMs, what we call the original equipment manufacturers, or the automotive manufacturers. So Ford, who Team Penske is partnered with, GM, Chevrolet, as well as Toyota, have all been at the table as we roll this program out and as we look to launch it. But as well as we develop what the curriculum will be, what the requirements are, et cetera, we're excited that the race teams, along with the manufacturers, have been right alongside.
That is quite the collaborative effort. That's exciting. So how does this fellowship work? What have those details been hammered out, and what can you share around that?
Yes, they have. So it's a 2-year program that's designed, again, just to give folks hands-on experience and behind the scenes experience about what it's like really to be a race engineer. And so in year one of the fellowship, fellows will be able to work with one of the manufacturers. So either GM, Chevrolet, Ford, or Toyota. It really will do rotations throughout that organization, you know, everywhere from whether it's CAD design, aerodynamics, mechanical, you know, working in the shop or working on the mechanic side. Again, and there's so many different areas that I'm sure per team and per manufacturer that those rotations may vary slightly. But after completion of the first year, the teams will then, or the fellows, excuse me, will then go work for one of the race teams that's associated with that particular manufacturer. So Team Penske is definitely one of the folks that will be supporting on the Ford side, along with Front Row Motorsports. And so we're excited to be able to partner with all of them, to be able to put folks through that rotation. There's even a point throughout the rotation in year two where fellows will be with NASCAR at the track, because it's really important. Again, as Andrea can speak to from working on the road crew for all those years, the amount of scrutiny that the cars go through, it's really vital to understand the things that we as a sanctioning body are looking at as far as the engineering realm is concerned, relative to rules, packages, and things like that, and how all of the data that's acquired from week to week, both from the racetrack and throughout the shops, and how that influences how the cars come together. So a really well-rounded experience. And then what we're probably most excited about was the OEM's willingness and really their desire. And they brought this to NASCAR and said, hey, we want to be able to tie this off. And so as it stands now, the fellows upon completion, assuming all goes well, we'll have each of those individual teams and OEMs will have first refusal to those fellows to be able to turn that into a full-time position. So really excited again about the level of commitment from the teams and the manufacturers, and excited about the students that we'll be able to get through and expose to these great career opportunities.
That's pretty fantastic. I'm excited for this fellowship to launch. That sounds like an amazing, really well-structured program. And again, speaks to the diversity of types of engineering that's in the sport as well, it sounds like. So who can apply for the fellowship?
Well, we're certainly looking at people who are in the master's level of their matriculation, whether, you know, in the second year or having completed such, because again, once you come out of school, you're going to be in many cases, if all goes well, right on the road and right to it. So we want to make sure that folks are, you know, a bit more settled and ready to kind of settle into their career, at least for the, you know, for the next phase. And so, yeah, that's kind of how it works, looking for master's level candidates. And again, any of those STEM majors that are out there, mechanical engineering, aerospace engineering, manufacturing, math, any of those STEM majors are folks that we're interested in.
Well, we kind of built up some excitement around this. So when does this launch? When can people expect to be able to put that application in and hopefully pursue their kind of dream job with NASCAR?
Fall 2024. So we don't have a specific launch date yet, but we certainly want to begin accepting applications at the beginning of the new school semester when folks are getting back to school, so that we can get folks up to speed and on the campuses of these manufacturers here pretty quick. So fall 2024, and we will be in closer contact with everyone as time moves forward on specific dates.
Perfect timing. And it's just right around the corner, really, especially how this year has been flying by. That's super exciting. Andrea, now I have to, you've gone through your own journey to get to where you are within NASCAR and Penske. What you hear about this fellowship, what does that a fellowship like this mean to you as a woman engineer? You know, what are you most excited about seeing when it launches?
And this is a very fantastic opportunity that NASCAR is putting together to have a program that has some structure around you for this role that, in our industry, it's a conventional role, right? But to the normal world, it's a bit unconventional. And so a lot of times you just kind of get thrown in and you end up in a sink or swim situation where this, I mean, again, like you have some idea of what your plan is and there is a support system around you. I just am so excited for the opportunity that they've put out there with this.
I think a lot of people are going to be very excited. So I guess one piece I wanted to clarify, Brandon, how many people can be part of the fellowship each year?
Yeah, great question. Thanks, Larry. So to begin, we're going to do one fellow per manufacturer and per team. So we'll start with three in the original cohort and probably do that for the first couple. On an every other year sort of rotation until we can kind of get things rolling. And then we certainly look to expand after the first couple of years. But to start, we're going to have three people to be a part of the first couple of cohorts.
That is going to be incredible and very competitive, I would bet. What do you think the listeners, if they're looking to buy for one of those three spots, what do you think they need to know to help them stand out from the crowd?
Well, I think someone who has a desire, I think one of the things that's really cool, and I think Andrea will be able to attest to this and probably even speak to it, is, and she mentioned it at the top of the cast, is that the racing industry is quite competitive. It's quite fast paced. And it's a place where you have to kind of, you got to want to be there and have a passion for it. So I would say first and foremost, looking for folks who have the drive, who have the need for speed, so to speak, but the passion to be able to see it through, because the opportunities will certainly be there. And anyone who's looking to kind of get into a non-traditional, you know, career, I guess, in some respect, right? So I think this is something that does provide an engineer with the unique opportunity, not necessarily to go have to work for a big corporation and sit behind a desk, but be able to get out on the road and do some stuff that at the end of the day is competitive and fun. And so we're certainly looking for folks with those with that drive first and foremost. And then as we sort of finalize more of the requirements, we'll kind of get into the GPAs and all of that. But those STEM majors and the passion for racing are the main two key ingredients.
That's great. Andrew, do you have anything you would add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's pretty spot on there. I guess only other thing I would say is just, I mean, you're definitely going to have to come in with an open mind and be willing to learn a lot at a quick pace. But again, if you want to be there and you're willing to put in the work and, you know, just be a huge sponge and soak in all the information that's coming in, I think they will definitely succeed.
That is some good advice from both of you and something to look forward to in the fall with the new fellowship. I think we have come to the end of our podcast, but I think it's just really the beginning of the journey with NASCAR and the new fellowship. So I think we are all looking forward to hearing more about this in the fall. How can they keep abreast and keep in touch with NASCAR around updates for the fellowship?
Well, Larry, everyone can check out nascar.com/careers for more information. And luckily, we'll see you all in a few months at the annual conference as well, about the time this thing is launching. And so we look forward to talking to some of your members in person.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for doing the shameless plug for our career fair, Brandon. I appreciate that. It's a fantastic opportunity for those that are not familiar, our annual conference. WE24 this year is going to be in Chicago, and it boasts the biggest career fair for women engineers, engineering period, actually, with over 450 different organizations in attendance. It's a fantastic opportunity for those that are looking for to speak with people in person, on-site interviews. The whole process is there, encapsulated over 3 days. It's an incredible experience. Highly encourage anyone listening that's interested to visit us, come on, join us in Chicago, and of course stop by NASCAR if you are interested in trying a career that you didn't think you probably could have in engineering, but you definitely can. Brandon and Andrea, thanks again for taking time to speak with us today. And for those that are listening, look for more information on NASCAR's new fellowship program when it launches this fall in 2024. I'm your host, Larry Guthrie, and from all of us at SWE, thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Diverse. Please don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with your social network. You can visit podcast.swe.org to keep up with our episodes and learn more about how the Society of Women Engineers empowers women to achieve their full potential as engineers and leaders.